Pastor Andre Cook presents this powerful, life-changing message to encourage, inspire, and provoke you to walk into your destiny. Now receive this word of change from Pastor Andre Cook.
Joshua chapter number one. Joshua chapter number one. And from his content, I read these words. Be strong, verse 6, and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Our Father's word, and it is blessed. You may be seated in his presence. I want to talk to you tonight from the subject, life-changing words. Life-changing words. Change is good, and we are changing. I submit to you that God is obsessed with change. God is obsessed with order. Everything is forever changing. The principle of change is one that must be embraced if one is to evolve. The Bible says that Paul speaks to the church and says that it is to have its mind renewed. The Bible says that Paul says in Romans 12 and 1, I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be ye not conformed or fashioned after the system of this present world, but be ye transformed, metamorphosized by the renewing of your mind. As a result of one's mind being renewed, one experiences a metamorphosis or a divine supernatural change. The agency by which God brings this change to pass is by the word of God. Jesus came preaching in Galilee after the death of John, saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We have come to embrace the definition for repentance as a turning away from sin and turning to God. But when you look at the particulars in Mark chapter number 4 where this statement is made, there's a deeper meaning to the term repentance. It's actually change your mind. How many understand that you'll never change your behavior until you change your belief system? As long as you believe one way, you'll always perform the same way. But it's not until you change your belief system. So Jesus says, he says, repent or change your mind, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Change your mind, repent. And as you repent, you will embrace or receive the kingdom of God, its provision of salvation, and its benefits of provision. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Am I in the book? This is what the book states, that he will, as a result of our prioritizing the kingdom or the will of the kingdom, its righteousness, which is Christ, he promises to provide for us. And in that text, so the Gospel of Matthew, you'll find that he says, fret not. The term fret means worried. Worry not. Worry not what you're going to eat, drink, put on. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about tomorrow. Why? Because the Lord provides for his own. Is there a witness? And so I've come to tell you that God is obsessed with change. First, the change of one's spiritual condition. Let's not, as it was with Israel of old, let's not miss our visitation. Are you with me? The Bible says that Jesus wept. He wept, the shortest verse of scripture. He wept. It describes an emotional response to Israel's lack of perception. He wept because they knew not their time of visitation. Would you help me preach? And because they failed to perceive the moment, eventually we would know that Israel would miss the opportunity and still today deny Christ as the Messiah. Are you listening to me? But bless God for Gentiles being grafted in. Aren't you glad that you are among the saved and the redeemed of the Lord, the blood washed, the blood redeemed? Is there a church here tonight? And so as we move forward tonight, I want to address this particular theme again, the theme of change. I want to deal with this, and I want to make it absolutely clear that if you're going to experience change, you must employ the power of words. Yes, is there any help here? Mm-hmm. Death in life lies in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Is that not the book? Hmm. Touch your neighbor and say, how are you living? Yeah. You're living as a result of how you're speaking. I mean, let's not forget that. It was Elizabeth's husband. Is that right? Zechariah, who was smitten by the angel because he failed to speak in agreement or alignment with the prediction. There was the foretelling that Elizabeth, his wife, would have a child. And upon his hearing it, he wanted to reiterate insignificant information. We of old age. But how many understand that age is no significance in the light of the power of his word? You can be young or old, but if God has targeted you to be blessed, it doesn't make a difference how long you've been around or how long you're waiting. Don't forget the issue with the woman with the issue of blood. 12 long years. I used to have a church here. 12 long years, 12 long years, 12 long years. She suffered with this condition. Is there witness? And she spent all her savings, her life savings, the Bible describes, mother, doctors, but they failed to heal her because they could only treat her. 12 long years. Is there a witness? But in the same episode, are you with me? There is a 12-year-old girl who is sick, Jairus' daughter. Are you with me? So you have a woman possibly in her 30s. Are you with me? Or maybe older, suffering from a bleeding condition for 12 long years. But then you have a young lady who is at the age of 12, suffering from a condition. But each of them, as a result of the power of his touch and his word. I'm trying to tell you that he will deliver because he's able. I wish there's a church here that knows that he's able tonight. He is a witness. And so I want you to understand it's important that you learn to speak the promises of God. I used to have a church here. Are you with me? And that you employ the power of words. Words project vision. Words convey thought. Is there witness? When we speak words, there are images that result on our mind. Is there witness? Touch your neighbor and say, if it's not on your mind, it's not in your future. But what's on my mind is based on what I've heard or what's said. The Bible says faith cometh by what? Where's three people here? Faith cometh by and hearing by the touch your neighbor and say, promise me anything but give me the word. Are you with me? Tell me whatever you want me to know, but back it up in the word. Say whatever you want, but back it up in the word. You can prophesy to me, but I'm going to search out the scripture and see if it's part of his plan for redeemed humanity. God's word projects the image of his anticipation and his promise for you. He wants to plant it on your mind. The Bible says this, and I promise I'm moving on quickly here. Jay, the Bible speaks to us, and it clearly states that if we would delight ourselves in the Lord, that God would give us the desires of our heart. Now, many of us misconstrue that particular verse, and we seem to think that whatever we can conjure up in our minds, this is what God is going to give us as a result of praise. But there's a deeper connotation. The text actually means those who spend time in his presence, delight yourself in him, delight yourself in his presence. In his presence, and as a result of being in his presence, he will transfer to you the image of his desire for you. They that delight themselves in the Lord shall receive the desires. See, God wants to implant his will for your life in your heart so that you will pursue it. And you're not walking in the divine will of God until you can align yourself as a result of vision. And so how does vision come to pass? I want to deal with these life-changing words. Are you with me? How many understand that we're in a time of celebration? As this is the fourth Sunday of June, there have been a number of graduations this week. We'll be concluding graduations, both for high school and undergraduate and graduate degrees. We're coming to a time in which celebration continues. But how many of you know that graduation is not the end, but is actually the beginning? So many people think that if I just graduate, this is where it ends. No, but graduation is a beginning. It's like salvation. To be saved doesn't end it there. It's the beginning. Are you with me? You're going to have to walk out your soul salvation. Is there a witness here? Anybody know what it's like to walk out this salvation? The Bible describes it as the good fight of when I got saved, I didn't know it was going to involve a fight. But is there anybody here that will honestly admit I've had some good days, but other days have been full of fight? I've had to fight to keep my mind stayed on him. I've had to fight with strongholds and strong men. Y'all ain't said nothing. I've had to fight with negativeness, and I've had to fight with the blast from the past. Oh, y'all ain't said nothing. We all are an ex something, and there's nothing like the past haunting you in the present opportunity. You don't know what it's like to be saved until you have to put up a fight. The Bible says, submit yourself unto God and resist the devil, and he shall. Touch your neighbor and say, get up off him. Let him preach. She has an email for me. Yes, God's speaking to me through the man of God tonight. Don't turn me off. I'm talking to you tonight. Understand that if you're going to achieve this new beginning, are you with me? You're going to have to learn to walk this walk, and then you're going to have to learn how to apply what you've learned. How well you can apply what you learn will determine your future success. How many know that God desires you to be successful? After all, he told Joshua, thou will have good success. He told Joshua, thou will make thy way prosperous. How are you going to do this? By meditating daily in the word of God. And we're going to get back to that because it makes sense, Horace. It makes sense. And I'm going to make sense of it in just a few moments. Touch your neighbor and say, he's talking to me now. The first life-changing word, are you ready? Is work. Work. I mean, you understand that no matter what God promises you, it's going to involve work. I mean, I guess we would think that Adam thought that he was going to just be placed in a garden. But one of the first things that God requires after he is cognizant and conscious is that he would work. Work at naming the creatures around you. And some of you are failing at working on discerning the creatures around you. Oh, see, some of us have been victims and volunteers. Touch a neighbor and say, you know which one you are. Some of you claim that you're a victim, but you really volunteered. And most of us volunteer to be victims because we fail at discerning creatures around us. You've got to understand that everybody is not for you. And you got to understand, when God wants to bless you, he sends people into your life. And when Satan wants to curse you, he sends people in your life. And every once in a while, you got to employ your gift of discernment. Know them that labor. Touch your neighbor and say, work. Now, we're told to work out our soul's salvation. Are you going to let me preach here tonight? Are you with me? We're told to work out our soul's salvation, but then not only are we told to work out our soul's salvation, if you're going to acquire anything, it involves work, employment. It was said that Thomas Edison worked 20 hours a day. Edison said, show me a satisfied person and I'll sue you a failure. Are you with me? Touch your neighbor and say, you got to work. Don't be afraid. Tell them, you got to work. The Bible says that if a man chooses not to work, then he should not eat. And he's speaking to individuals in the church because they're being depleted by moochers and leeches. And you got to know when your Christian benevolence is being taken advantage of. Just because you are a Christian, you aren't a doormat. Are you with me? Touch a neighbor and say, gas next time. I may have given you a ride last week as a result of my choice, but this week I need assistance. But you will be able to provide if you are working. Three people say something to me. Are you with me? Now, I'm not suggesting, as Edison stated, that you work 20 hours a day, but I am saying you need to be employed, gainfully employed. That's the way that God is going to bring to pass your dream of a Mercedes. It's quiet here now. I know we believe that all things are possible, but I'll tell you this, one of God's methods is not causing blessings to fall out of heaven and hit you in the head. A bag of money isn't swinging above. Y'all ain't said nothing. You're going to have to work. Touch your neighbor and say, God is in work.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. These messages are designed to jumpstart your day by inspiring, encouraging, and empowering you to walk in change. We certainly hope it's been a blessing. If you'd like more information about Prophet Cook, or if you'd like to be a part of our worship experience, please visit us on the World Wide Web, www.andrecookministries.com. And until next time we come across your ears, remember in the words of the prophet, no faith, no taste.